is the first things that were asked to the ag commissioner. But what kind of things do we got going on out there for easements?
Well, it's certainly a hot topic because the frustration, from our perspective, the frustration of landowners with easements that are in all practical purposes perpetual. They are not technically, but they become that. And they miraculously grow, which is a very big frustration. Technically, they don't do that either. But sure enough, they do. A federal agency particularly will come in and just basically say, you know, your great-grandpa signed on to this when he was poor and needed money. He signed on to this for $25 an acre or whatever it was, or $25 total. I don't know how vast those things are,
right,
but that was a number that was thrown out this morning in committee. And because your great-grandpa signed on to this, you're stuck with following our rules on your land. And that's the nutshell of the very big frustration with people. So we've had several bills. And just for an example, this morning is a Senate concurrent resolution encouraging Congress to do something to reevaluate the way this process works. Farm Bureau has some policy that, you know, would be in the big picture of things to say we don't like these easements. We don't like the length of these. We don't like the way people's private property rights are abused on those kinds of things.
Right.
And so this Senate concurrent resolution would be a memo to Congress saying, you need to fix this problem. And, of course, it went through here with flying colors. There was only one person who objected to it, maybe two.
Yeah.
One while I was in the room. But, you know, it's a heartache issue for a lot of rural landowners in that they inherited something from sometimes two or three generations ago, and they have an unwilling now business partner telling them what they can do on their land.
Right.
And so some of these easements, served a purpose at the time, but they have outlived that purpose. And just as one of the farmers that testified today, just as farming practices have changed since the 50s, 60s, and 70s, we need a change in the way we look at these easements that were set aside for one good reason or another back in the day. Depending on your interpretation, a good reason, and now they're abusive to the landowners.
The only other thing I was thinking about this coming back to, let's just say it was for the pipeline and easement or something along those lines, and so grandpa or grandma or whoever it happened to be, or maybe for the railroad tracks or whatever it was, they signed on, and nobody thinks about the fact this is going to be still in place generations down the road. But then I thought about it from the other side. What kind of Pandora's box would you open up, though, if all of a sudden, you know, after 40 years, all these companies or all these situations had to go back and renegotiate, and they're like, nope, we're not going to let you be on it. Then we're in trouble.
And certainly an easement for a utility or whatever you would call that, those kinds of easements, railroad easements, those would be a different thing than a fish and wildlife easement. I was specifically talking about fish and wildlife easements relating to the bill this morning or the resolution this morning. But you're right. Easements for various things are various. And so, you know, a railroad quick take deed back in the day is different than a modern easement to take the Dakota Access Pipeline across this state. And so they're different animals, even though they have some of the same topics and some of the same words in them. And so you have to handle them differently, obviously. But I was focusing on basically fish and wildlife easements.
It's a tough
for the anxiety of this bill today.
It's a tough question, no matter which direction you go.
Certainly is.
All right. Well, let's talk about one of the big topics today, and that has to do with livestock zoning. And this has been something that you guys, as a Farm Bureau organization, and others have been working on for a while. What's happening today?
Well, coming out of the last legislative session, there was an interim study committee to upgrade and fix some of the zoning regulations for animal agriculture in our state. We have not done this in a number of years, and so to bring us up to speed with what other states are doing, mostly focused on the Iowa model, the Nebraska model, to keep up with what South Dakota is doing, thinking about our neighbors going into that part of the Midwest. You know, it's so much easier to site a livestock operation in Minnesota or South Dakota than it is here. much of that is driven by the fact that our code was out of pace with what is modern production agriculture. And so many of the ag groups, in fact, I would say almost everybody that has an interest in rural North Dakota as far as an ag organization, commodity groups and other folks, plus local government folks, cities or counties and townships, and other groups were all involved in this interim committee to say, how do we fix this? And we all came to this bill, helped by Commissioner Goring's office. This bill was drafted. It was proposed today. And once again, all the stakeholders that were involved in this stood up and said, yes, we didn't all get everything we want out of this, but we need to modernize our code references for setbacks and zoning for animal agriculture in the state. Some of that involves, you know, a setback for, say, the smells of things. And there are models that you can use, computer models that you can use to say, you know, the wind is always from the northwest here, therefore the setback on the northwest side of whatever this building is doesn't need to be as much as maybe it needs to be on the southeast side. And on the southeast side, it might be a longer setback. And so that model is now available and is used in other states, and we're going to pick up on that here. And so this was a great step forward for animal agriculture in our state to get us to be at the same modern standard as other states. Now, our Department of Environmental Quality still has oversight for protecting the public, our groundwater, our streams, all those kinds of things. That doesn't change with this. This just allows a tool in the toolbox for siting livestock within this state to get us up to the modern standards that other states use. And virtually all the ag groups and local government folks were all involved with this process and came to this conclusion, and that's the bill that we had before us today. And everyone stood up and said, rah, rah.
Okay, so where does it go from here? It gets passed on this side, and then we got to wait for the crossover? Is that what we're doing? Or
yeah, it will. It will come out of committee today and then go before the full Senate, maybe not on tomorrow's calendar, but probably as soon as Monday's calendar. And then passage there would move it over to the House, start the process over again. I think we'll have reasonable support in the House as well. And hopefully we'll be sending this one to the governor. Ag commissioner's behind it, and he spoke on its behalf today, and we'll just see where it goes from here. But we hope that this is removing another barrier to livestock production in this state so that we can not only have the livestock here, but also that helps our grain farmers because it gives them more of a market of where their grains can be utilized through livestock feed.
Do we know when the date is for the crossover? Is that like on the calendar, or is that not set?
It in theory is on the calendar near the end of February, and I believe it actually crosses over at the end of the month. I've got crossover dates starting on the 28th, and then they would come back in either on the 4th or the 5th. I believe they would come back on the 5th. So at the end of February, beginning of March, that's when bills will have to be crossed over from the House of Origin to their second house. And so we'll see you see a flurry of activities early in the session, then it kind of levels off. This week, probably some bad bills or ill-advised bills will not pass. It'll level off, then there'll be a flurry near the end of as we get closer to crossover date, and then we'll start the process over again, and that same ebb and flow of peaks and valleys of activity will be mirrored again in the second half of the session.
All right.